The Old Testament reading is taken from Genesis, chapter 18. And the Lord appeared to him by the oaks of Mamre, as he sat at the door of his tent in the heat of the day. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing in front of him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the earth and said, O Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree while I bring a morsel of bread that you may refresh yourselves and after that you may pass on since you have come to your servant. So they said, do as you have said. And Abraham went quickly into the tent to Sarah and said, quick, three seahs of fine flour, knead it and make cakes. And Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to a young man who prepared it quickly. Then he took curds of milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, where is Sarah, your wife? And he said, she is in the tent. The Lord said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son. And Sarah was listening at the tent door behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in years. The way of women had ceased to be with Sarah. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, after I am worn out and my Lord is old, shall I have pleasure? The Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you, and about this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is taken from Colossians chapter 1. And you who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. Now I rejoice in my suffering for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you to make the word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for ages and generations but now revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make heaven. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy, that he profoundly works within me. This is the word of the Lord.
The good news according to St. Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Luke chapter 10. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things, but just one thing is necessary. So what is it that's necessary? The sisters Mary and Martha and their brother Lazarus invited Jesus and his entourage to stay at their house in the little town of Bethany. And as we read in our gospel lesson, Mary sat at Jesus' feet and listened to his teaching, while Martha was distracted with all the work these house guests created. Martha was upset that Mary wasn't helping, and Jesus seemed to be unaware and unconcerned that Martha was doing all the work. So Martha spoke to Jesus. "Don't you care that Mary is not helping me? Why do you let her sit at your feet and listen?" And Jesus responded, "Martha, Martha." You know, Old Testament scholar Chad Bird, who will be speaking at Christ the Vine the last weekend in September, Chad Bird points out that in Scripture, whenever there's a double repetition of an individual's name, something big is going to happen. Something life-changing. For example, in Genesis 22, Abraham had followed the Lord's instruction. He'd tied up his son Isaac and laid him on the altar he'd just constructed. His hand was clutching the knife and his arm was raised when the angel of the Lord shouted, "Abraham, Abraham." And Isaac was spared and history was changed. Or in Acts chapter 9, when the apostle Paul was confronted by Christ on the road to Damascus, Jesus cried out to him using his Hebrew name, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And Saul, later known as Paul, went on to be God's agent in changing the world. So here in the little town of Bethany at Mary and Martha's house, it sounded like something big was about to happen. "Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about so many things, but just one thing is necessary." In other words, there's just one thing that's good, that's satisfying and worthwhile and valuable. Mary's getting it, but Martha, you're missing out. You know, we've been going through the book of Romans in our Sunday morning Bible study, and right now we're in Romans chapter 8, and it begins with a startling declaration from the Apostle Paul. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Well, who is he talking about? Who is Paul referring to when he says, "in Christ Jesus"? Well, in the context of Romans, it's very clear. He's talking about those who've been baptized. If you're baptized, you're in Christ Jesus, according to Paul. So condemnation or no condemnation, acceptance or rejection, when it comes to God, it's not contingent upon what you do, according to Paul. Rather, it's contingent upon your status as a baptized person who's received the gift of faith. Well, don't you have to do something? Live a good life? Serve God and neighbor? How can you be accepted and loved by God simply because you're baptized? Simply because of your status as a baptized person who's passively received the gift of faith? Read Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. If you haven't done anything, how can that be good enough? Well, it's good enough because it's God who saves you rather than you and God working together to save you. God alone does all the work. That's what Paul says. Read the last half of Romans 7. Remember the prodigal son? Remember that parable? that guy, that prodigal son, who did everything wrong, broke every rule in the book. He was a jerk. And at the end of the parable, he was inside the tent that represented heaven, dancing, simply because of his status as a child of the Father. And the guy who actually did something, in fact, did everything and did it right, the older brother, at the end of the parable, he was standing outside the tent that represented heaven, refusing to go in. Read the parable in Luke 15. The older brother is like Martha in today's gospel lesson. Martha's angry with her sister because she's not doing her fair share. On top of that, she's receiving more than her fair share of attention from Jesus. And yet it's Martha who's doing all the work. So Jesus said to Martha, "Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but just one thing is necessary. Find your rest in me." In other words, Martha, you can relax and be at peace. Cast your cares upon me, Martha. I will never leave you or forsake you. My peace I give to you. I have saved you, Martha. You belong to me. I love you. You know, our Old Testament lesson today that Bob read describes a very strange visitation of three men who appear out of the blue and call on Abraham and Sarah. Some theologians believe that these three men were an earthly appearance of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Others believe that they were the pre-incarnate Jesus and two angels. Either way, it was very unusual, and most surprising was their statement that they'd come back in a year and Sarah would have a child. Sarah laughed. And why wouldn't she? God had promised Abraham and Sarah that they'd have a child almost 25 years earlier. The promise was outrageous because Abraham and Sarah were 75 and 65 years old at the time. And it never happened. Now they were 99 and 89. And it was even more outrageous. But you know the rest of the story. A year later, Sarah gave birth to Isaac. You know, so much of what is promised to us in Scripture seems outrageous. In Romans 6, Paul says that we who are baptized into death with Jesus. And being baptized into his death will absolutely, certainly rise again with him to new life. That seems hard to believe. In baptism, it doesn't look like we're dying and made alive with Christ. But if it's true, what wonderful assurance for us who've been baptized and whose children have been baptized. We're with Christ. As Paul puts it, we're in Christ. He's got us, always, no matter what. Is the body and blood of Jesus in, under, and around the bread and wine of communion? Jesus said, "This is my body, and this is my blood." And our cantor reminds us that as we participate in communion, it's not just us who are present. It's also the angels and archangels and all the company of heaven. All of them, unseen, but present. So all who've gone before us, all of our loved ones, are with us as we kneel up here. Is that true? You know, anyone with a microscope can understand the concept of how there's worlds all around us that we don't see. And anyone familiar with scriptures can point to God's word and God's record of keeping his promises. So us who are fearful and troubled and anxious like Martha, us who are burdened with inexpressible sadness, us who are terrified by the depth of our own grief, we who are disappointed with life, who find ourselves afraid of the future, to us, God says, be still and know that I am God. You are in Christ, and so are those who you love most dearly, including those you've lost. Those you've lost, you will find. And those you love, you will embrace again. What we see around us is not at all that there is. The perfect righteousness of Christ is credited to you and to them. We're all wrapped in his spotless robes of righteousness. You are in Christ, and he claims you as his own forever. So be at peace. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great love for us and your great assurance of your love for us. Help us to recognize what you have done for us. Cause it to fill us with gratitude toward you and humility before one another. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.